Hello, Build. It's great to see. Thank you very much. Come on. Let's get some whoops going here. Thank you. Nokia Music launched its music streaming service in 2011. It's live in 28 countries around the world. We're available on Asha mobile phones, all Nokia Lumia smartphones, the web with any device, and now Windows 8. Nokia Music is a tier one music store, which means that we sell our music directly to the consumers. We don't white label. And at the moment, our Indian users are downloading over 1 million tracks a day. Basically, it's pretty awesome. Thanks, come on. We're here to take you through the story of porting our Windows Phone Nokia Music application to Windows 8. And we're going to do that in three main ways, really. My name's Craig Pugsley. I'm a principal designer here at Nokia Music. So I'm going to be taking the kind of design elements of the porting. We're also going to be doing it from an architectural point of view and an engineering point of view as well. So this is our agenda for today. We are going to be covering where we started. So this is how we got going with the whole process. Before we even picked up a pen or did any engineer, wrote a single line of code where we got going, how we got going. We're then going to talk about the design approach and how we approach the whole porting exercise. We are going to talk through the architectural approach as well. We're going to discuss some of the development challenges we had with the port, and we're going to go do a bit of a deep dive on some of the code for that. And then we're going to wrap up by just covering some design tips and tricks and giving you guys something that you can take home with you in a kind of practical terms when you're doing your porting or designing your Windows 8 apps as well. So what we're going to do is we're just going to start with a Windows Phone demo of Nokia Music, just to get you familiar with the application in case you haven't used it before. And to do that, I'd like to introduce my wonderful colleague, Matt, to take over.
Thank you, Craig. I'm a senior architect at Nokia Music. I'm going to struggle to match Craig's enthusiasm, but I think that's something to do with him being a designer and me being an architect.
Thank you. So, as Craig said, I'm going to start with a demo here.
So, what you see there is Nokia Music. So, if you were at Build last year, you would have received a Nokia Lumia 920, and hopefully you notice the Nokia Music application on there, and you use it and love it every day. For the few of you who don't know Nokia Music, I'm going to talk you through some of the features, just so you know what we're talking about, kind of set the scene. So the first thing you'll notice is this great big live tile down here. This is actually Craig's phone, so this is showing the music he's listened to recently. The music I've listened to recently is on my live tile on my t-shirt, but that doesn't update quite so frequently. So we start up the app. You'll see the typical home panorama. This kind of shows basically our menu system and some featured content. So list of features here, we've got recent content, some service content, some event listings. So the function on the app includes a local music player, so you can sideload any of your own music content, play it on the device. It's supplemented by a load of service info, so artist images, Twitter feeds, biographies, and event listings. All of that also applies to our store content as well. So if you like any music, you can download and buy it. A couple of really cool things are gig finding. So this is a load of event listings. So if you're looking for something to do in San Francisco, big long listing of events here. You can click on one, more details, buy tickets, get navigation instructions, everything. Something really cool is what we call Mix Radio. So this is totally free with Nokia Music on every Lumia device. It's a collection of free online streaming, so you pick a section of music you like, say some rock, you'll be presented with a long list of mixes in that genre. You pick on one, say we want some classic rock, and it'll just start playing you some music, depending on the speed of your internet connection. But a real cool feature, especially when you're doing a live demo with flaky Wi-Fi, is something called offline. So you can take up to 4 mixes for free, make them offline, so you can use them anytime on an airplane, or you just want to save some data connection. And this is totally free. It'll download them, play them offline. And even though we've got about 200 mixes, you might not find one you like. You might want to create your own. So you can come in here, create a mix. You can seed it with a few artists that you know and love, and it'll play some music by those artists or something similar to them. So there's a few here that Craig have done recently. I think that's probably enough to kind of explain the app, so I'm going to go back to Craig now.
Yeah, okay. So, that's our Windows Phone app. It's critically acclaimed. You know, we're getting some really high reviews for it in the store. We're really, really proud of it. I want to shout out the principal designer for that, Mary Bowden, back in the UK, and Chris Davis as well. Our design team have done a fantastic job on that. From a design point of view, the Windows Phone design, it's structured a bit like this. It's what Microsoft call a central application hub with homepage menu. It's basically a menu on the left-hand side you can use to drill down to areas of your application that are deeper. And then at the hub level, you're surfacing content in a panorama that you think your user will be interested in to tease them to go into areas lower down into the application and get engaged with it. So for Nokia Music, ours looks a little bit like this. So we have a panorama at the top where we're showing, as you saw, the homepage menu. We've got our recently played, we've got mixes. But the thing is with the Windows Phone application and designing for Windows Phone, you design for the space and the canvas that you've got. So of course you can't show everything all at the same time. You have to be very selective with what you show at the right time and then require your users to drill into the content they're interested in. So you can see here that this is what's called an information architecture diagram. It shows you how the app is laid out from an information point of view. And you can see that you've actually got quite a few levels deep in this architecture before you get to some of the content that you want. And that's absolutely right and absolutely appropriate for a mobile application. What we're going to talk about today really is how you port that across and take that IA and port it across to Windows 8 and how you might want to change that and mix up that content a little bit as well. So let's dive straight back into the original architecture, Matt.
Thank you, Craig. So originally we started with a Windows Phone 7 application. This was developed using MVVM. I'm not going to go into any details about MVVM. There's another session here at Build by Microsoft about it. But essentially, we found it's an excellent way to separate your UI from your business logic, also make your app testable. Really recommend it for any Windows Phone app. So we had other Windows Phone applications, some developed by the same team in Bristol, such as Nokia Reading, and there was other Nokia applications, such as the Here Map. So we had a lot of shared code between these. So the diagram at the bottom there, or in the middle, is showing some shared libraries. So these were Windows Phone 7 assemblies that we were sharing across multiple applications. Underneath all of that, we had the Nokia Music REST API. So this is REST API that returns JSON for all of our server-side info. Oops, let me go back a minute. So when we came to doing a Windows Phone 8 app, we wanted to reuse the code as much as we could. Essentially, all we did here was a lot of linked class files. So we created a new Windows Phone 8 application, and essentially most of our view models were linked files. I'm going to kind of show you a bit of what that looks like in Visual Studio. But essentially what we ended up with is a load of common projects here. All of these, as you can see, are Windows Phone 7 applications. So these are basically referenced by our Windows Phone 7 and our Windows Phone 8 projects. So I close that up. You can see down below, we've got a collection of Windows Phone 8 projects and 7 and Windows Phone 8. And within here, a lot of our views and view models, you can see, are using linked files. If you were in this room an hour ago, you would have seen Matt Hettinger's talk. Sorry if I mispronounced your name, but he gave you a lot of info on exactly how to do this approach. And for Windows Phone 7 and 8, that was basically how we shared our code between the two. Thank you, Craig. So moving on to Windows 8, we wanted to improve on this. The approach we had worked, but we thought there's a better way to do it. So this was the original idea, that we were going to take all of our common code that was previously Windows Phone libraries, move that to portable class libraries. But we wanted to take that even further. So the idea was that we would take all of the models and contentiously all of the view models out of our applications and move those into portable class libraries as well. The one of the issues with this is that within each target application, there's a lot of platform-specific stuff. So in our case, it was stuff like media playback, local storage. So the diagram here is kind of showing that we defined a platform abstraction interface at the bottom and then put implementation specifics into each target application. So this is an interface and a implementation in the client project. The other thing we're doing here was the use of NuGet for managing and deploying this portable class library. So this allowed us to develop and deploy this separately from the client applications. It's meant that the portable class library would be unit tested and then deployed when it was stable, so that the application developers always knew they had tested and solid code. It also made the deployment much simpler in the solution. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio again in a second. Not quite ready. Yeah, fine. Thank you. So you can see what I'm showing you now here is our Windows 8 application. You can see this is a lot simpler than the Windows Phone one, mostly because it's just a few Windows 8 applications. And if I open NuGet Package Manager, you can see that for example, one of the packages here is our features commons. So this is our portable class library. So we publish and deploy it through NuGet. It makes everything much simpler. The other thing I'm going to quickly show you in Visual Studio is how we implemented this. So again, this is a simplification of what Matt showed you earlier, but we built this as a portable class library targeting, in this case, Windows Phone 7 and higher and Windows Store apps. So we could use it across all three platforms. So one of the other objectives of this was that we wanted to take some of our API and make it available to third-party developers. So at the bottom, what I'm showing there is the Nokia Music REST API. A subset of that is what we call our public API. So this is something that any third-party application can do to add music functionality to their own apps. They can integrate directly with our REST API. But for C# developers, we wanted to make that even easier. So we had our own C# wrappers that serialize all this into nice JSON objects. We wanted to give you Windows Phone 7, 8, and Windows 8 projects to do this yourselves. The reason for the different projects was mostly because of the different functionality available on each platform. So on Windows Phone 8, for example, we allow you to deep link into the app. This is just a really quick example of what you can do with our API. It's just a few lines of code here showing you how you'd instantiate a music client. This is our API wrapper, basically. Call a method to get a list of top artists. Display that yourself in your own UI, and then you can play a mix using another single method call, and that launches the music client, plays the specified mix. I'm going to hand back to Craig now for some more design info.
Thank you, Matt. So how do we start from a design point of view with the Windows 8 port? Well, you know, a lot of people said to me, well, you just take the Windows Phone application and just scale it, yeah? Just a bigger screen, just make it bigger, scale everything up. Well, of course, that's wrong, you know, it's completely wrong. As you've seen in some of the talks in the conference today and yesterday, you know, you can make really great advantage of some of the Windows 8 and 8.1 components that you've seen here. If you design for them, if you design with them in mind. So where did we begin? Well, you know, we began with design principles. And there was a great talk I've just seen about Microsoft design principles. I won't go through them, but, you know, things like being authentically digital are actually really key. It's a really important thing. And, you know, Nokia, we have our own design principles because we design music applications for not just Windows Phone, for other platforms as well. So we've got principles that cover all of them. Here's a selection of them. So it's pretty simple, really. It's pretty straightforward, but it's really useful for us to keep these in the back of our mind. It's things like making sure the experience is absolutely simple from the moment the user takes it out of the box. So they can take their phone out of the box, they can hit the, they can boot it up, hit the play button, and they're straight into some music. And that's a principle that we've got there. There's no sign up, no registration, straight into the music. It's a really important thing. Excuse me. The other thing is we want our content to really come to the surface, to be surfaced to the user as immediately as it can be. You know, music is a really kind of emotional thing. It can really affect people, and hearing something that they enjoy and they like and get excited about is something that's really, really delightful. So we've got this principle about content is king, and wherever we can, we push the Chrome out of the way, and of course Windows Phone as a platform design approach is really great for doing that as well, because they're all about surfacing content. So that principle is fantastic. We also make sure that the content is relevant to the user as well. So we don't want to just be giving you pop music if you're really into a sub genre of, you know, alternative indie or something. So we make sure it's as relevant as it can be. And we also make sure that when we put together our mixes, which are collections of music for you to listen to, that we've got people in your country, because we're spanning, you know, 28 different countries, that you know, are responding to what's interesting and local in your area, in your territory as well. So if you're in India, you get different music to if you're in the US, and of course it makes perfect sense. But having it being personally relevant is a key principle for us, and that's where we drive it through. It also has to be completely effortless. You know, we have a focused user that we have in our mind when we're designing, and it's the casual user. It's not someone that's going to sit there going through thousands of artists and tracks, making curated playlists. You know, it's not people. We haven't designed for the people that've got time for that. We're designing for people who are really passionate about music, but maybe don't have the kind of time to spend curating their own playlists. And again, that's kind of what our mixes are perfect for, giving you an ability to just choose at a high level what you want to listen to, and you can click play, and we've pushed that stuff through to the user interface. The other thing is loving the platform. As I say, because we're supporting multiple platforms, we absolutely have to understand how to exploit those platforms to the fullest. When we started doing Windows 8, you know, understanding what was unique and interesting about Windows 8 was absolutely one of the first things we did. Now, the reason I'm showing you our principles is because it's just as easy for you guys to come up with some principles of your own. You know, you just need to sit down, think about what's important with your Windows Phone app that you want to get across in your Windows 8 app. And that's really what I'm here to talk about. My part of the talk is about today, really. If you haven't got a design team like Nokia has, if you're an independent guy or you're working for a small team of people who haven't got a dedicated design resource, you can still do some of these things. There's some really great practical tips that hopefully I can leave you with today. And this is one of them. It's really worth thinking in mind and bearing in mind and thinking about when you're designing. So there's a couple of other areas that you can think about. So, for example, know how your app is going to be used. On Windows Phone, you've got a specific type of size and resolution that you're targeting. You know, you know exactly the kind of application size and the canvas through which your user will be experiencing your app. Of course, for Windows 8, it's completely different. You've got larger resolution screens, you've got physically larger screens, you've got different scaling factors as well. It's also obviously a more powerful platform. So design decisions you may have made on your Windows Phone, maybe to use, you know, lower resolution artwork or maybe lower resolution music, audio, is completely different for Windows 8. You know, and you should appreciate that and scale those things up to the platform so that you can really take advantage of that. The other thing is that obviously Windows, a Windows PC or desktop it can be very nearly always connected. Whereas with a mobile phone, you've got much more kind of intermittent network connection. And again, that's important from a design point of view when you're choosing what kind of content to show to your users. A couple of little stats for you. So I like a bit of stats. 42% of people do hybrid or tablet activity while doing another task or engaging with other entertainment. So that's the whole kind of second screen smart glass stuff. 42%, though, is quite high. And also 18% of people use their tablet or hybrid device in companion with another device as well. So they're kind of doing two at the same time. And that's really interesting, because that's probably different to how someone would use a mobile phone. And again, it's worth bearing in mind when you're porting across some of those stats. And the thing is, Microsoft have got some really, really great design reference documentation on this stuff. You know, it's really, really good. And one of the examples of one of the areas that's particularly good is around their ergonomics and gestures. And they've done loads and loads of research into this. And this is one of the first things that we encountered that really stood out as being really interesting to us as well. People are going to be holding your application on Windows 8 differently to how they're going to be holding it on Windows Phone. So you've got, for example, areas of the screen that are the best place, the most optimal places to be putting your most used buttons. And you know, you need to be aware of that. And also, you know, ways that your application is going to be held in different configurations. You know, someone's sitting down using it, standing up using it, on their lap. Again, it's all worth thinking about when you're designing. Secondly, it's good to know where your application is going to be used. It's completely different to your phone. With a mobile phone, you know, with a mobile device, your users would be typically, you know, choosing something on the screen. Like in our case, it would be some music. They'd be hitting play. They'd probably then just lock the phone, stick it in their pocket, and put their headphones on. And then they're not actually engaging with the device anymore. But with Windows 8, it's a completely different experience. Now, you can create something that's much more engaging and a continuous level. You know, for our Nokia Music app, we wanted to create something that would give people an experience they could put in the corner of their room, and you know, would be something that they could that would be as visually appealing as it was musically appealing. You know, so knowing where your application is going to be used is really important. There's this concept that we've identified called micro portability. So it's this idea that a user would be, taking the tablet or laptop device from one room to another in their house. And there's no one particular room that's the focus point. It's not going to be the lounge or the kitchen. We found that people are using devices and using your applications on that device in multiple different rooms of the house, out in the garage, out in the bathroom, wherever. And again, it's worth bearing those things in mind when you're designing your app. The third thing is, think about who's going to be using your application. So the Microsoft Store have got some really great demographic data on the users that have been using your Windows Phone app. So things like their gender, their age, probably more importantly though, their geography, so where they're based. So where are your core users based? Are they European? Are they Asian? Are they from the US? You know, it's understanding where those users are allows you to design, and when you port your application, design for those users specifically. Real user input is absolutely the fundamental part of a design process. I cannot overestimate how important, or underestimate rather, how important it is to get real user input into your design process. And it doesn't have to be something really complex and involved and expensive. This is an example of what we do back in Bristol in the UK, just like guerrilla ad hoc user testing. We just get someone in off the street who's our target demographic, we sit them down, we show them the application, maybe we've prototyped it, or maybe we just sketched it out on a bit of paper. We interview that user over about an hour, we get them to use the app, we see what they think of it, we also see where they have problems and where they really like the app and where they enjoy it. And then we can take that away and iterate that. And you wouldn't believe the kind of stuff that comes out of these sessions. It's absolutely fantastic. But it's just a guy in a room with a laptop. And this is Ben Bywater. He's the designer in charge of user testing in our team here. In this example, another shout out there. This is a quote from a famous web usability expert, Steve Krug, who is saying that, you know, the only way, you guys are too close. By the time you've engineered your app, or even by the time you've gone through the first phase of the design process, you're too close to it. You don't know where the issues are, where the great things are, you know? You've got to test it. The only way to find out if it really works is to test it. So what did we do first? That's some of the research. What did we actually do first? Well, this is what I did first. So I started with a pen and paper, and you know, you don't have to have the world's best drawing skills, and I don't necessarily, but it's good to start somewhere. And I started by drawing out the information architecture for our Windows Phone app, as you saw there. And you guys can do this with your apps as well, because all you're doing is you're just drawing boxes and lines. So this was our panorama. So you can see here, this was the menu item. This was the now playing. We've got some mixes over here. Can you guess what it is yet? There we go. We have the gigs listed over here. And then as you come down, we had the artists. So we had a whole mix drill down area over here. And this is the mixes section that you could see. And then what you can do, so I won't do everything, but you know, you guys can. What you can then do is you can take this and actually just cut it up. You know, and this is what we did. On a bit of paper, you can cut this thing up, and you can then cut these sections out. And these are the high-level functional areas of your Windows Phone 8 app. You know, this is how your application is structured. So we're going to cut these ones out. So there we go. We've got a menu system there, and we've got a now playing section there, and we've got a mix section there, and a gig section there. And then this is our mixes drill down. So there we go. That's our Windows Phone 8 app. And then take a Windows 8 silhouette, as they call them. In this case, we wanted to take the hub pattern. So here we go. This is my Windows 8 hub. And then what you can do is you can actually start to piece these things together and move them around into the best configuration that you think. So let's have the now playing screen there, because that's really important. That's what the user's listening to. We'll then have some mixes. Let's put those up there as well. We'll have the mix drill down section actually up at this level as well. That'd be quite nice. And then we'll have the gigs, say, over here. And what we found was that we were taking these levels that were quite deep in our Windows Phone 8 app, and actually putting them at higher levels on the Windows 8 application. We're actually flattening that information architecture. And this made us think, actually, wouldn't it be really cool if we could keep people on this one really immersive hub experience, you know, really engaging immersive hub experience, and they're only letting them drill down when they actually really require, really need to do it. So that's what we did. We're going to go to a demo now. So this is probably the worst idea in the world. So not only are we doing one live demo here, we're actually doing two. So what you can see on this screen, on the left-hand side, is the Windows Phone 8 app that Matt just showed you, and he shall be controlling it. And the on the right-hand side, you can see our Windows 8 application being run in an emulator at the moment. And what we're going to try and do here is show you the transition between the Windows Phone experience and the Windows 8 experience and how we carried it over. So what you can see here on our hub is this really great now playing hub head for the hub here. Oh, ABBA, come on, Matt, that's fantastic. What a good choice. So you've got this really great, wonderful artist imagery in the background. Look at that haircut. Man, I can only aspire to have hair like that. That's incredible. What you've got is some lovely album artwork here, and you can see the track name up here and the artist link. For the phone, it's all exactly the same content. So you can see here on the Windows phone, on the left-hand side, we've got, you know, artwork in the background, we've got the mix name in the top left, but we've just reorientated that. We've been able to exploit some really great high-resolution imagery that our catalog has, our service has in the background. We've got all the transport controls you would need. All of the play, pause, skip buttons are all in the right places. But because we've got a larger canvas, we can actually do things like this. We can actually surface you up some recommendations. So as you're listening to a track, we are able to suggest to you other mixes that you might be interested in at the same time. So we're actually providing a sort of additional functionality, if you like, over and above what the phone has. So if Matt pans to the right now and he's now playing screen, we've got a very similar experience here where we're suggesting you other mixes. And this is our artist page on the Windows phone. And here, if I drill down, if I click on ABBA from the now playing screen, we get a similar experience. So again, you can see it's exactly the same type of content on our artist pages. So you can see here, this is a link to go and play an artist mix. So that's a mix of ABBA and other artists like ABBA. Here's our image gallery. So you can click in there. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you can scroll through these gallery images. And again, we're trying to really exploit Windows 8 and the capabilities of Windows 8's full screen view to give you a really immersive kind of music experience. And by goodness, why would you not want to do that? Thank you. And then if I pan across to the right a little bit here, what you can see some recent mixes that I've played. We've also got, Matt, if you could come up a level at the moment, back to the panorama. So if Matt pans across to the right a little bit here, you can see we've got the same mix radio section, so we're teasing you with some mix content that we've got, some mixes we think you're interested in, and then you can drill down at this level as well. But whereas on the phone, it's correct and appropriate to have two levels that you drill through. So first you choose a category that you're interested in, and then you see the mixes. On Windows 8, we thought we could actually present that all in one level, you know, so we could just give you one drill down, and then it's just really simple and quick for you to jump between these sections. You can see here we're also presenting mixes larger. We are actually in this case scaling them up because we've got this great resolution artwork that we can show off on the displays. And then this being Windows 8, you can do some great things like, you know, selection. You can multiple select and take offline, and that would take all three mixes offline. So we're trying to really exploit the capabilities and the opportunities of the platform. And then the last thing we'll just show you here quickly is the artist mix. So if Matt shows you the menu on the Windows Phone application, you can see here that Create a Mix is a link directly off the menu of the panorama. You then go down to an artist mix section. If you click Create a Mix, you then do a search for Muse. There we go. And you get some predictive results. And then you go into another page where you can add a couple more artists if you want. And then when you hit play, you then the mix is created for you and you're listening. But we actually wanted to collapse that up, and with my initial sketching, I thought we could collapse that up into the hub view. So here on Windows 8 from the hub, you can just click Create a Mix. You get this panel that drops down in context. You're not taken anywhere. You're on this lovely, immersive, rich hub experience. And you can do exactly the same search here. So I'll search for Muse, and I can add that. And I can add another one like that. And then I hit play. And that's going to do exactly the same thing for me. So I've not left anywhere. I've been kept in my hub. And then you can see here that now I'm playing Muse. Okay, great. So hopefully that gives you a sense of how we brought across some of our Windows Phone components and panoramas and brought them into the Windows 8 world with hubs and bits and pieces. Good. Okay. So let's go back to Matt, who's going to talk to you a little bit about the harsh reality.
Thank you, Craig. So I showed you earlier some nice target architecture. We stick everything in portable class libraries, use it across all platforms. Great, nice and simple, right? So obviously that's just what we did. No, we didn't. So as you can see from this diagram here, what we actually did was we took our Windows Phone 8 code, we kind of looked at it. There was a lot of things in it we weren't happy about. This had evolved over a lot of time. Another issue we had was that we didn't really understand the support for async and await in PCL at the time, on Windows Phone 7 in particular. So basically what we did is we extended the approach we had on Windows Phone 7 and 8. We did a lot of cut and paste code from Windows Phone 8 to Windows 8, created a new Windows 8 app. The shared libraries, we took what we had in Windows Phone 7. Again, there was a lot of cut and paste here. We didn't actually link files because, in this case, we were cleaning up a lot of old code that was no longer relevant or needed serious refactoring. So our shared libraries here were almost starting from scratch. We've moved on a bit from that, though. So we kind of started transitioning toward the target I had. So all of those Windows Phone 8 libraries, we've moved into portable libraries, and now we're actually backporting those, starting to use them in our Windows Phone application. So we're kind of refactoring, tidying up as we go. One of the real issues we had earlier was that we had existing Windows Phone apps, and we didn't really have time to refactor them. We had to keep maintaining them, developing them. Although it would be great to share common code across all platforms, it just wasn't practical immediately. So it's kind of something we're working towards, and it's an ongoing process. The real benefit of this right now is that we've got these portable libraries, and this enables us to develop features very quickly across all of our target clients. So we have a new feature, like we want to add lyric support to the client. We do all the business logic in this portable library. We can easily add it to both the phone and the Windows 8 clients quickly. I'm now going to invite Ben up on stage, and he's going to talk to you about some of the engineering challenges he experienced.
Thanks, Matt. Hello, so my name is Ben Buttigie. I'm one of the senior engineers on the Nokia Music team, and I'm going to be talking about some of the challenges we had developing the Windows 8 client. So obviously not everything went according to plan, despite Craig's fantastic drawing and cutting skills. There were a number of issues, I'm going to talk about two of the biggest technical issues we had. First one, connected standby. Fantastic feature in Windows 8 allows apps to continue to run in the background and perform some key operations even while the device is in a low-power standby mode. You can perform operations such as accept push notifications, or key for us was the ability to play music. This is supported on Surface RT, Clover Trail-based devices, and any device which supports the always-on, always-connected standard. So the ability to play music while a device is in standby has obvious benefits to battery life, but is also a feature that phone users tend to take for granted. So we're really keen to support it if at all possible. So what was the problem? Well, initially, initially it seemed that this would be a really trivial feature to implement. All we had to do was use the media element. For those who are unfamiliar with it, the media element provides the ability to play audio and video, and also provides some nice features such as dedicated transport controls, which can be used outside of the application. So the problem was that as soon as we started to play audio, the problem was as soon as we started to play offline tracks. So we could play offline mixes. So those are tracks that we could download and play offline, or local music. That's tracks from the user's music library. But as soon as we start to play stream mixes, that is audio streamed from the music service, they just stop after a few tracks. And the reason why, I need to explain to you a bit about the connected standby flow. So here you can see a representation of what happens in connected standby. So you see the screen's on, network's on, application's currently playing a track via the media element. As soon as the power button is pressed, the screen gets switched off, obviously. Then the platform starts to take down any unnecessary resources. That will include the network connection, assuming the media element has completed downloading the current track being streamed. So this is clearly what was happening to us. Whilst the device was in this low-power standby mode, we were attempting to retrieve the next set of tracks to be streamed. And our application was being terminated after only a few tracks. So how do we get around this? Well, it turned out we had a window of opportunity we could take use of. The media element has some elevated privileges which allow it to bring up a new network connection as soon as you set the next source. So we could take advantage of that and effectively piggyback the network connection of the media element, request the next set of tracks, and we'd be good to go. So we could continue that cycle indefinitely. And so therefore we could play local audio, my music tracks, and stream mixes, even while the device isn't connected to standby. So that was connected to standby. I'm now going to talk about the next issue we had to address, semantic zoom. Another great feature in Windows 8. Allows you to navigate and browse a large collection of data and visualize it at a high level by just pinching out and seeing that data from a high level. It's ideally suited for viewing a music library, as you can, for example, see a long list of albums, grouped by artist. You can then pinch, zoom out, and see just the list of artists. Tapping one of those artists will take you back in to that artist and all the albums by that artist. So, fantastic. So what was the problem? Well, the problem was, as soon as we started testing with large libraries of just a few thousand tracks, we'd find the application would become unresponsive and unstable. And the obvious requirement was that we could support potentially tens of thousands of tracks. And as soon as we tried even, we couldn't even get close to that before the application would become unusable. So I'm sure you're all already guessed, the problem was that the lists weren't being virtualized, our views weren't being virtualized. And the reason was we were using grouping and the collection view source. The collection view source is the standard way to implement semantic zoom. It provides you with grouping of the items in the collection, and it also provides you the synchronization, the scroll synchronization of those two views. So when you tap on the high-level item, it will automatically take you to the correct position on the zoomed-in view. So that's great, but the problem is, the trade-off is that virtualization is disabled. That might be fine if you've only got a couple of thousand items in your lists, but that's not going to be good enough for us. So our solution was to implement our own virtualized vectors or virtualized collections. This is a data virtualized collection. Which ensured that we minimized memory usage and kept the app performant. The only issue was that we still had to keep position synchronized, which we could do that simply by using the scroll to item source, scroll item to view. Using this virtualized data collection, we're now able to support hundreds of thousands of tracks and potentially millions. We've not tested that yet, though, so we'll have to see how that goes. So, yeah, that was just a whistle-stop tour of a few of the challenges we had and how we overcame them. Now I'm going to hand back to Craig.
Thanks very much, Ben. I'd like to say thanks to Ben and his entire engineering team in Bristol. I think you guys, you're wizards, and you pulled off some incredible stuff there. I mean, you know, we've got an experience now for our local music playback that is, absolutely one of the best in the world. And it means that, at the bottom line, it means that our user experience is going to be fantastic for our users as well. So I'm really glad he was able to overcome those engineering challenges. I'm just going to finish up by running through some tips and tricks, some practical tips and tricks you guys can take away with you to help you designing your Windows 8 app. So giving you some practical some guides and things you can make use of. So first of all, make some principles. It's really simple, really straightforward to do. It's well worth doing, though. It's just write them down. What things do you think are important about your Windows Phone 8 app that you want to carry across? Make your app consistent as well. Make sure that the things you do on your Windows Phone experience get carried across into Windows 8. Now, we do that in a few ways with Nokia Music. We do that with our visual style. So you'll see here that mixes and the way we represent mixes on the Windows Phone 8 app are the same on Windows 8. And it means that users who are going from one to the other just feel completely comfortable with that transition. And there's no problem of understanding what's going on there. We also do it through other ways, though. We do it with iconography. So if you've designed specific icons for Windows Phone and you could bring those across and they work on Windows 8, you should do that as well, making a consistent experience. We do it with naming conventions. Obviously, the term mixes is something that we've got in both applications. And again, it just aids that conversion. And also the copy style. So that's the way the strings that you write, the way that you communicate with your user through copy. The tone of voice that you use. So in Nokia Music, we're generally a little bit more kind of playful than the rest of Nokia generally is, and the rest of maybe Windows Phone is as well. And that's a style that we've carried across to Windows 8, and that you can see through dialog boxes or error messages or whatever. So you know, these are all things that you can use to create a consistent experience across both. read and
understand the guidelines.
Please, just it's Microsoft are about the only company I've seen in looking at these that have got guidelines that are so consistent between Windows Phone and Windows 8, and they're really, really good. I mean, they may be pretty thick, but you know, you can dive straight into them when you need them for reference, and they've got some really good reference material at the top end as well, summarizing it all. It's all there. And the thing is, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Just rely on the platform, because the stuff you get out of the box when you just fire it up in Visual Studio and use the templates and use the existing patterns that are there are fantastic, and they come with so much for free. So if you don't know what to do, do nothing. Basically, use the guidelines. The other thing that the guidelines talk about is the two ways that you can architect your app. So there are basically two models that we noticed when we were designing the Windows 8 app. One of them is flat, so that's this idea, that, a bit like Internet Explorer, where you have one main view, and you swipe down from the top, and you'd get different high-level section areas of your app. And that's great if you've got an application that's presenting, you know, maybe one or two different types of content, and you want to jump between those areas. The other type is hierarchical. Now, this is more suited to applications that have got different types of content, and you need to be able to jump between them quickly, or rather, and jump between them, and they're more detailed. So this is what we chose for Nokia Music, because we have different types of content we wanted to present to users, and it also means we can get to do a lovely hub page as well. Use the apps. I can't stress this enough either. Use the other apps on Windows 8. There are some really, really fantastic apps out there, and you know, there are some other apps out there as well. And it's really good for you to know what's really good on Windows 8 and what's, you know, maybe not so good on Windows 8 as well. And it'll help you, give you a bit of inspiration and a bit of guidance on where to position your app and how to, you know, I mean, it's absolutely fine to appropriate someone else's idea and use it in your app if you can provide something unique and interesting there as well. Don't be afraid of long hubs. The model for the phone has always been in a panorama to design something that an experience that teases users. It gives them something interesting at that top level to drill them down into content below. And that's appropriate for a phone application. But for Windows 8, you can, and you saw with our example, we're actually surfacing more at the top level. And don't be afraid of those hubs growing longer and longer. I mean, that's ultimately what semantic zoom is for. And your semantic zoom does not have to be just a static grid of A to Z items to jump around in that navigation. You know, if you've got some really great content, you can really exploit it. You can present some of that great content up to your users when they semantically zoom. Ben was showing the example that we use in Nokia Music, where we're using artist imagery to jump between artists in a music collection. Here's a great example from NASDAQ. I absolutely love this. So this is their hub page, and they've got different types of content in each one of their sections. And then when you semantically zoom, not only do you get this really great kind of navigational aid in the semantic zoom, but you also get some of that interesting or useful content surfaced up at this level as well. So it's functional as well as being a navigation aid. And this is a really great example. Sweat the details. The bar has been raised really high for Windows 8, higher than it ever has been before. If you spend time on the fit and finish of your app, that's how you'll get it to 5 stars, because users will notice that. And they may not notice it overtly, they may not go, oh, that's a couple of pixels out, I'm gonna uninstall it. They'll notice it subconsciously, and it'll create an engagement with them and your app, and that's what's gonna get people putting those 5-star ratings and getting other people buying your application. If fit and finish does translate into more sales, and we've found that as well. Know how components map. So we talked about how panoramas can map onto hubs, and how maybe pivots can map into sections. And again, if you read the guidelines and documentation, you can see these patterns as well. And you saw some examples of how we map those across. Flatten your IA. That was one of the biggest tips I think we found when we were doing this porting designer process across to Windows 8. Flattening your IA gives your user a really nice, consistent experience without having to go too far, and you can really exploit that additional screen resolution and real estate to the fullest. Be aware of resolution and scaling factors. I mean, it's pretty obvious, really. You can kind of get that, but there are two things you need to think about. First of all, do you want your application to scale if it's on a larger screen? And that's where you just take the content and literally make it bigger. or do you want your application to fill? So that's where, if you've got a larger resolution, you actually just fill it with more content. So we're actually using both in our application. For the hub view, we're scaling. So if you go on a larger, higher resolution display, we scale everything up and you get the higher resolution artwork in there and it's really lovely. But then when you go into the My Music area where we've got more content we want to show to users, we don't scale it, we fill. So we're actually, you know, we're taking advantage of your higher resolution by showing you more content. And that's appropriate for the use as well. So have a think about resolution and scaling factors. And the last thing is leave Snap View to last. You're essentially probably going to be designing an additional view for every view in your application that you design. And I believe with 8.1 now, as I've learned in the last couple of days, it's slightly different how you apply Snap Views to your applications. But it definitely makes sense to design your application in the main first, and then design Snap Views that are appropriate for your application later. And there are really two types of Snap Views you can have. You can have a Snap View that is essentially the core use case for your app, that when the user snaps into it, it just defaults to that. And that's what we do in Nokia Music. So wherever you are in the application, if you snap it, we will go to a now playing screen so that you can listen to music and control it and see the metadata while you're doing something else. Or you can have essentially a fully featured version of your application in Snap View. So that's you just reorientate everything, but you still provide your full functionality, a little bit like Mail does when you snap that. So you can still use it in its full capacity. It's just laid out in a different way. But essentially, you will need to think about the design for that as well. So that's why it's worth leaving it to last. And look, that's it. That's it. Whistle stop tour through the multi experience. Thank you very much. I know I speak for the three of us when I say that probably the proudest moment of our career was when Ben, up on stage please, when Nokia Music got featured in the spotlight section of the Microsoft Store in the US and the UK. I mean, this is fantastic, and we've been getting some really great feedback from our users. We're about to release our 1.2 application. That should be live in the next few days. That's going to have all the new features that Ben was talking about. So that's the completely re-engineered My Music library to support tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands,
millions
of tracks, as well as those really great semantic zoom views that you saw as well. So look, I urge you to go out there when it's released. You can go and get our 1.1 version now. Go and get 1.2 when it's released and give it a go. And tell us what you think, because we absolutely love feedback from you guys, and that's the only way we know. So thanks very much. Okay. So I'm going to leave this slide up here for resources. And there's a QR code in case you haven't seen any of those before. So you can take down our Twitter handles and stuff. And if anyone's got any questions, please come up to the mics and use them. We'll take anything, basically, regardless of what it's about. Someone's going to have a question. Yes, sir.
So maybe you covered this, but there's twofold questions. I'm assuming you're using a seamless single sign-on experience across to get to the app when you're on Windows Phone or tablet. Do you carry that session across the devices as well? That's the first part of the question. Not as much within the song itself, but just to preserve the context of where I was in one device versus the other. And the second part of the question is, Billy, do you anticipate getting into other platforms or Windows?
That first part sounds like one of your questions.
The first part was about whether we preserve sort of user data across platforms. It's not something we do much right now, so a lot of the user session, like local playback, recent history, that's device. We're certainly looking to improve that in future releases to make a much more consistent experience across both platforms so that you play something, you can resume it on the next, but there's not something we support now. The second question?
Other platforms.
Yeah.
So we've got our Windows Phone experience, and that's the signature experience for Nokia Music. Of course, now we've brought along this Windows 8 experience as well, which has allowed us to do all the great things you've seen today. We're actually, we support Asha as well, our mobile phones. So we're bringing these really, you know, high-end, engaging music experiences down to the price point of a mobile phone experience as well, and taking that out to Asia and China and all these places that really love these feature phones, these mobile phones and experiences. And of course, we've got the web experience as well, music.nokia.com. And that's making Nokia Music available on any device, any web-enabled device, basically. So that's there for you as well. So you can pretty much get Nokia Music anywhere you like. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
In one of your tips, you talked about making the app consistent across the OSs. What are your thoughts on doing that when you're doing cross OS? So, for instance, like we have an iOS and an Android and a Windows Phone app. Like, what levels do you think we should go as far as like trying to keep it consistent? Is that just like branding and like copy text, or should we even try and keep general layout stuff similar? Or like, what are your thoughts on that?
So, first of all, that is a good question. So, just bear that in mind. All right?
Yep.
So yeah, that's a really great question, and you'll see, it's a big topic in the sort of design community at the minute. You've got the likes of Facebook who are doing one kind of heterogeneous application experience across all of the canvases, and I think that's probably okay. Personally, I think that's probably okay, because if you're Facebook, everyone knows you, you've got a big kind of brand equity there as well, so you know, you need to be doing that kind of thing. But it is a shame, because the Facebook app on Windows Phone doesn't take advantage of some of the really great things that the platform can offer. So of course it's a trade-off. I would only ever do that if you get more from exposing your brand equity on that platform than you do from exploiting the user experience. For Nokia Music, that's not the case at all. You saw one of our design principles was love the platform. That goes back to why it's important to have design principles. So for us, it's not. We would never do that. We have no intention of doing that at all. We do experiences that are custom to the platform that we're on. But yeah, it's a really good question, and it really does depend on what your app is. I would guess that you guys wouldn't do that. I would guess that for the applications you guys are going to be building, you would do something that is native to the platform and feels like a native experience to the platform. But yeah, great question.
Thanks.
Maybe time for one more.
Yeah, I'd just like to know what you think about the improvements to the Windows Runtime Platform in Windows 8.1 and whether there have been obstacles in the platform itself that you've encountered working with 8.0 and whether there are sort of interesting things in 8.1 that you intend to exploit.
Yes, that's a great question. There's loads of things that have been announced in 8.1 which would have been fantastic to have had a few months ago.
Unfortunately, we've only just known about them now. So.
Yes.
certainly from a design point of view, there's lots of interesting new things I think we can take advantage of, and the experience seems a lot more really coherent now as well. But yeah, we've got to get up to speed as you guys are with this stuff.
I think one of the key ones, just to come off the top of my head, the new delayed lazy loaded hub view. We took a lot of effort to support that in our app, and now you get that for free. So there's even a template for it, so you can literally just have a lazy loaded hub view app for free. So that's great.
Got 20 seconds.
I know you guys went over some of the challenges you hit when you're doing some of the engineering for the new platforms. If there was one thing you could, going back in time a year and starting everything from scratch, or if there's one thing you could change with that kind of platform code base or the shared libraries, what would it be?
Good question.
That's a good question. We spent a lot of time refactoring because we didn't use any shared code, and I think, I don't know, we should have allocated that some time up front to do things properly. I think we kind of rushed to get the client out, and we spent a lot of time tidying up, so I think we should have, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's always about being pragmatic, and there's always trade-offs in everything we do in engineering, so I think we're generally pretty happy with where we got to. Using portable class libraries sooner, taking more advantage of those as soon as we found out about them. I think that might have helped us if we'd used those to begin with, actually. That probably would have been a big benefit. But, yeah, I mean, that's engineering for you.
All right, we're definitely out of time. The four of you that asked questions, can you come up to the front, please? We've got a couple prizes to give away, and we've also got a raffle.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.